So sure. Welcome. Welcome to the Golden Thread Conversations podcast. I am your host, Judy Murdoch. And today I am delighted to be speaking with Raj Dekka, a former NASA asset who went after his dreams and today is living them and using his life experiences to empower others. So Raj, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. So I must confess that the phrase NASA asset really popped for me in your intro. And so I'm curious because it seems to me like to do that, you had to have like a fairly technical slash engineering type background. It just seems to me like that's not something you just sort of do on the fly. And now you have a thriving career in entertainment and filmmaking. So I'd love to hear your journey. How did this happen?
You know, so I wasn't really looking for NASA per se. Growing up, I didn't really like any subjects in school, but I remember there was some interest, but like I never really thrived like a lot of kids did. And mm-hmm. I just did the best that I could. And I went to college. And I actually was going to do medicine initially. Mm-hmm. And I interned with a doctor my first year, and he was telling me how he's always on call and he rarely sees his kids.
Yeah.
And I got really discouraged, and I said, one day I want to have a family. And my dad was a contract engineer, and once in a while he would be away. And I said, you know what? I'm going to change it right now, where when I have a family, whatever I'm doing for a living, mm-hmm. I'm going to be with my kids and my family every day. So mm-hmm. I had all these math and science credits done, and I dropped medicine. So the very next year, I'm taking these random classes at Baylor University, and I get invited to go to this Indian Subcontinent Student Association, and it's this group that puts on cultural talent shows and whatnot. And I just met some of these people who became like my family, and they said, "Hey, all of our seniors are leaving for our talent show. We need someone to do to choreograph the dances."
Oh wow!
And I thought, why me? There was a formal and I didn't know anybody there, and I went, and somebody pushed me in the middle, and I've been dancing from when I was a little kid.
Okay.
We had some fun, and we lit up the floor, if you will, and they wanted me to do it. And I said, I can't be in charge, but I'm happy to help whoever's in, whoever's going to be doing the choreography. They're like, well, now we have nobody. I'm like, wonderful. This is going to be interesting. So I just did it step by step. I did the choreography for like one dance, two dance, three dance. So I had a solo performance on my own, and I ended up just dancing in school. And that's what I felt like I went there to do.
It's like Saturday Night Fever,
Yeah. It's like, wow, I get to do this and have dance practice like hours each day. And just, I had this big event at the end of the year or at the top of the year to really perform and whatnot. I'm a junior in college. My school calls me, and we're in our second show, and they're like, you're supposed to graduate next year, Mr. Dekka, and you have no major declared. I said, is that a problem? They're like, yeah, you're supposed to graduate next year and your parents are paying a lot of money, idiot. So I'm like, all right. So I go home and I'm like, Mom and Dad, I have no major and I have all these credits. I don't know what to do. I don't really like anything. I enjoyed art and psychology. And there's one physics class that I liked. I think that was just because of the professor. Uh-huh. Just phenomenal. But my family was like, well, you're going to get a degree whether you like it or not. So once you get that degree, you can do anything you want in the world. But you are going to be stable and you're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And so there was a computer science degree, and my parents were like, hey, there are a lot of the math and science courses you already have, they require. So yeah. Instead of repeating 4 years, you know, it's something you can do in any industry you go into. Having a computer background can't hurt, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So we talked about it. Hey, it makes sense. And so I thought like, oh, this is going to be fun. Like, you know, it'll be some computer games. It'll be some business classes. Like, how can a computer degree be, right?
Yeah.
And so I jumped in, and our university starts with graduate level coding.
Oh, wow.
So I had a rude awakening where like there was one class I did. It was a 2 week course, and it's a semester's worth of activity. So I did this, schedule where, I was 2 years deep into the degree.
Oh, wow.
So I couldn't back out of it. Cause I'm like, this is clearly not for me.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, with God's grace, I finished it. I got through it. And even when I graduated, I was like, Dad, I graduated, and I was struggling, you know, in the last semester. I had to retake this operating systems course where you write an operating system, and the professor took great pride in all the exams were theory based, even though I could do the programs.
Right.
You have to write about a theory within a theory within a theory. And oh, if you thought differently, you're wrong.
Yeah.
So, you know, I told my parents, I said, hey, look, you know, I might not graduate, but you know, I'll do the best that I can. They're like, just do the best you can. And when I graduated, I'm like, Dad, I did it for you. And then he just started crying. And I think the first time I heard my dad cry is when his mom and his sister passed when I was in high school. I finished that degree. I graduated, and then NASA pops up. Like I did an internship with Wiley Contractor, mm-hmm. who does a lot of great, phenomenal work for NASA. And then one thing led to another, and I'm being interviewed by Matt Berry, who I didn't know who was at the time, and he's someone who's highly respected in the community all over the country. I mean, he was our president's personal science advisor at one point. He had like 7 degrees, 2 PhDs. He was head of mission control for like, I think almost a decade, but mm-hmm. You know, I had a couple phone interviews, and he asked me, he goes, you've accomplished a lot. And you know, at such a young age, what are you most proud of? And my first thought was, man, he's looking at the wrong resume. Like I can't even BS. I'm like, what the heck am I gonna do now, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just honest. I said, you know what, probably one of the, you know, state karate tournaments that I won when I was really young, or maybe, you know, becoming an Eagle Scout, but you know, like maybe an Eagle.
Uh-huh.
And I met him in person, and he was like, hey, sometimes when nobody's looking in the hallway, I do like a little spinning back kick, you know, like he was also learning martial arts and really excited. But we hit it off, and I had no idea how decorated, quote unquote, this guy was. I just thought he was just another manager, and mm-hmm. you know, in his office, there wasn't a single thing hung up on his wall. So I thought, you know, we're having the first in-person meeting, and he goes, you know, we're going to have you program, starting off here at, you know, USA, flight operations. And I said, no, I don't think so. And he goes, I don't understand. I said, well, I have other strengths I can provide. And he goes, how so? And this is a guy who's thinking like, nobody's ever said no to me before.
Yeah. Yeah.
and I said, well, I'm a people personality, you know, like you can put me in a room with 100 people. I'll know 80% of them in 20 minutes and I'll know them well, you know?
Oh, wow.
And I just love people, you know, that's just how like my parents were and how, mm-hmm. how I grew up. And we just embrace everybody. And and I said, I have strengths, which I really, really make count. And I also have the technical background. And in my mind, I'm kind of like, mm-hmm. I never even wanted this degree.
That's why.
And so he's like, interesting. So he created a position for me right on the spot.
Oh, wow.
You know, so I was working with this phenomenal group for some projects on the space station, the orbiter, and just worked with these amazing, amazing beings. And then while I was working there, one of my best friends, Josh, I've known from daycare, his little brother was like, hey man, there's a community theater. I'm having open call auditions next to the Space Center. You've always talked about taking an acting class, never had the guts to do it. So he's like, you're going whether you like it or not. So, you know, Judy, I'm terrified. Like I go in there and I have no resume. I have no experience. I do a little cold read for a play called Gazebo. And And I get this character who's a sidekick to the main detective, and I'm on stage for 30 seconds in the show. and like, you know, I have the best time just in the process, like doing the cold read, actually being a part, doing, you know, being a part of this family through all the extensive rehearsals.
Cool.
And just, you know, experiencing the life of a theater. Like anytime you walk into a theater, you can feel, you can smell, you can sense the history that it's been through, right?
Yeah.
That it's endured through so many stories. On opening night, there was a couple, this girl and her brother, and she came up to me and she goes, "I want to thank you. You know, you changed my brother's world. You were his favorite character in the entire show. Now I wanted to thank you with every ounce of my being."
Aww.
And I thought if I'm driving home and I'm like, if I can do that in 30 seconds, what can I do on the big screen?
Yeah.
You know, like how can I inspire people like, you know, on that level? Mm-hmm. So I immediately started taking acting class in Houston, started doing independent films, and started to apply for work in LA, you know, with my USA NASA experience. And you know, despite this incredible flight operation experience, I wasn't getting a single hit. Applying for a job in LA, trying to get closer to TV and film. And you know, I'm working in Houston, I'm doing theater. Gazebo, the director, was casting Grease the musical, and he's like, "I want you to read for Sonny." So I read for Sonny, and we had this magical moment in the room, and I ended up playing Sonny for this incredible musical.
What can I ask you, like, what role is Sonny? Because I'm sorry, I'm just like, I remember Grease, but I don't remember the specific character names.
So there was Danny, there was Kaneki, right. And there was Sonny. He was one of the main Greasers.
Oh, okay, got it. So yeah, he was Lightning and all those like really cool numbers.
Yeah, and you know, like I've been dancing all my whole life, and I'm like, I get to do a musical. They're going to teach me how to sing, you know, and he's the only Greaser, he's the only lead in the musical who doesn't have a solo. So I was able to kind of like learn with everybody and kind of, and I felt like because of the director, my character became so, so strong. I was able to elevate Grease in a lot of ways.
Cool.
And there are some really, really difficult moments where, you know, in the final rehearsals right before we performed, he called me out in front of everybody in that theater. He's like, "This is embarrassing. You're doing this, you're doing that." And then I went home, Judy, I was destroyed.
Yeah.
You know, I thought like if, you know, if anyone bashes me about what I do academically, you know, with math, science, with my studies, that's fine. That's all good. But when it comes to the arts,
I will fight
with every ounce, with every, like every ounce of my being, you know, like I will give everything that I have to make this better.
Wow.
And the very next day in rehearsal, the director was like, "Sonny, you found your character. I commend you for taking direction the way you do." And it took a lot of heartache to take that character to a place Sonny's never, ever, ever been before in that show.
Wow.
So that reminded me, like, and I got all these reviews and I was like, you know, this is the process, you know, this is like, this is what you can do, through this medium. So I said, this is it. Like nothing has given me a rush like this.
Wow.
I did Gazebo. I did, I was in the middle of Grease. You know, let me back up a little bit. Before I got into acting, I was living at home in Houston with my mom, and my dad was doing a contract job in Washington State. Mm-hmm. And my mom passes away suddenly. And
I'm really sorry.
Oh, thank you, Judy. She was my best friend, and she moved on. Like I didn't know how to function. I didn't know how to move.
Yeah, that's huge. Yes,
it was huge.
And, I understand.
You know, dad. Right.
Yeah. I lost my dad like about 2 years ago, and my father and I were very, very close. And
you lose
a touchstone. Thank you. You lose a touchstone in your life. You know, somebody that I guess like you always feel a little bit like you kind of look to them. It's not even for approval or anything like that. I just my dad was just kind of a North Star in some ways for me. He was always somebody I wanted to share the good news with. you know, the bad news. He was always like kind of the first person I would turn to. So I still miss him. You know, I think we always miss these people who are so special to us.
Oh my God, absolutely. It's, you know? Time in a lot of ways is an illusion. Like, you know, it can be 10, it can be 2 years, it can be 17 years. Like, totally. You know, at the end of the day, it's like, that's always going to be our mom, our dad, our loved one. And, you know, I'm a big believer that, like, you know, we're here for such a short snippet.
Yes.
And the physical is such a small part of it. And there's gotta be more meaning after that, you know? My dad was away and, you know, through the services, you know, of course he was home and whatnot, and he went back to work. And so I'm at home by myself. I'm working at the space program. I'm doing this musical rehearsals nonstop. I'm also part of a dance company. I'm doing martial arts. I'm doing just too many things. It's almost unhealthy, but I'm doing my best to function and to go forward and, you know, it's keeping my mind occupied. And this was 2 years after my past, where I was in the middle of like Greece, and, you know, I found this passion of mine, and I found this reason to be excited again.
Yeah.
And so I was going through all these notions and, you know, applying for jobs in LA, not getting a single hit of interest. Mm-hmm. And just kept going. And then a DC recruitment firm out of Washington reached out to me saying, "Hey, we saw your resume online, in your experience, would you be interested in a position in intelligence, like State Department, Department of Defense?" And my first instinct was like, "Well, that's really funny. They're looking for me. This is clearly a joke." And so, you know, I deleted it. I'm like, I don't need no spam.
Oh, man, that's so funny. Oh, dude,
So I deleted it. And then a week later, like, I think I'm in a rehearsal or I'm somewhere, and I'm like, you know what? Mom always knew I wanted to travel and work down the road. She knew how much passion I had in international travel. What if this is something from her, from above?
Oh, cool.
So, you know, so I said, you know what? Let me just revisit the email, see if there's 1% chance it's legit. And this was like a legitimate group. I mean, these guys gave me these exams online. They came to Houston. I had an official interview. And a week later, I get a letter in the mail, an offer to work for the CIA and travel the globe. And at first, I'm like, what's happening here? And, you know, I called my dad, and I'm like, "Dad, you know, I told you about these interviews," and it kind of led to another one. And they came to my office in Houston, and they spoke with they had private meetings with some of my bosses and whatnot. He was like, "Yeah, what's up?" And I was like, "Well, I just got this offer." And my dad's not even surprised. He's like, "Look, you know, you've got to really think about what's important to you." And he's like, "Look, you know, you want to act, and you have been, and you will." But he goes, "This is a chance where you could see the world, but you have to make the decision. You let me know and we'll go forward."
Wow, man.
So
wise words from your dad.
You know, absolutely. You know, he was like, "Yeah, you know, think about it." So I said, "You know, I was about to move to LA, pursue acting, and then this comes up." So I said, "You know what? Let me go, give them a shot, you know, see what they're about, see the world for like a year, save some money, and then I go to LA."
Uh-huh.
And that 1 year turns into 3 years. And in that time, my father meets the director of the agency. He shakes my dad's hand. He's like, "Thank you for your son and his work." And there's a moment I was living in Japan and my dad came out to visit me, and he saw I had this beautiful condo in the heart of Roppongi in Tokyo. And at the end of the third year, my dad calls me and he's like, "Hey, we need to talk." I'm like, "Yeah, what's up?" He's like, "Look, I really thought about it." And he's like, "You know, whenever you're in the States, you're on a bus to New York, you're auditioning, you're filming." And he's like, "Look, you know, your fire is there." And he's like, "You have the heart, you have the will, you have my blood, and you're going to do well." He was like, this is for you. And he goes,
"Wow."
He goes, "You need to really, really understand that, like, the time is yours and the time is now. You know, when there's a will, there's a way." And he said,
"Wow."
He goes, "You know, I promise Mama would take care of you." And he goes, "I want to see you more. And I want to cook for you like when you were little." So he goes, "Look, this is the game plan. You're going to resign." You know, he said, you're going to resign from your job. And I've already put in my transfer, and we're going to LA together."
Wow.
And so I have chills down my spine. I'm like, oh my God, like, my dad and I are going to start a new chapter together. And this is how I'm going to make the leap, because there are moments where I was overseas, and no matter how proud I was of my work and where I was and all of the cultures and all that I got to experience, I still went to bed thinking like, man, when do I get my next script? When I get to be on stage again, you know? And, and so I've chills down my body, and I'm like, this is it. We're going to do it. And so he's like, let me know when you put in the notice, we're doing this together. And 2 days later, my dad suddenly collapses at a training session at work, a sudden heart attack. And 5 days later, he slips into a coma. And 5 days he's in a coma and he passes away. So that conversation I had with my dad, where he was like, we're going after this together because I know it's yours, was loud. I heard his voice. So like in 3 months, my father passes. I resign from the CIA. I go to Africa to clear up my head. And then I drive from DC to LA with no future financial plan to go after my dream. And that's how I came to LA. So kind of to answer your question in a nutshell, like it was a series of different life chapters that kind of thrown at me, but I believe that the reason NASA, United Space Alliance, CIA, the entertainment world, and being able to work professionally as an actor, I believe all these things have been happening because no matter how many ups and downs I had in my childhood, and my childhood was, there was so much love and community, but I was never really an A student. But my parents told me, they said, hey, there's only one of you in this world. Never, ever forget that. So from when I was a little kid, that always stayed with me and reminded me that I am king, you know? You know, and everybody should have that in their own world.
I agree.
You know, you have something so special and so specific inside you that the world is waiting for. You know, it's up to you to tap into it. I came to LA and I hit the ground running, and I took every acting class, Stella Adler and all these amazing studios, and I hit the ground trying to get an agent, and in 6 months I burnt out. And one day I'm in Redondo Beach driving to class in Hollywood, and I have all these errands I'm trying to run, pick up headshots, this meeting, go to this network event, and I'm flustered. And I said out loud, I said, God, I hope I'm making the right choices day to day, like, you know, help me, be with me. And in front of me, as I'm saying that, was a Ford Explorer taking a turn, this beige Ford Explorer, and on the license plate, it says Geeta D, and that was my mom's name. And so every now and then I'll get a reminder from my parents that, hey, like you're exactly where you're supposed to be. We're with you. Keep going. It's interesting, you know, like I learned so much coming here as an, you know, like I learned that, like, for example, getting my union, you know, there's an actors union, an actors union called the Screen Actors Guild, and you get a card to become, when you become a member. And I tried so hard to get it, but when I finally let go of it, this role found me, and I got it immediately, you know? It took a good year, but I had to really let go of trying to make it happen, you know?
You know, can I interject in this? Cause because as I've been listening to you and like, you know, like what I hear, like the golden path is so much like what you've been describing, which is like things kind of show up and happen for you. And you were also talking about how when you were in college, you were pretty like kind of adrift and nothing particularly appealed to you. And it made me think about my own background, where I've always been very like a very calculating person. You know, always very like super focused on whatever the next career would be for me. And, you know, I just found myself wishing a little bit like, I wish I had held things with a lighter hand when I was younger and hadn't been so focused and trying so hard to make things happen, you know? And I think our culture is very, you know, like pushes us really hard to, you know, try to make things happen, try to engineer our futures and that type of thing. And as I've gotten older, I mean, at some point, like in my life, actually, I got to the point where I didn't even know what I wanted to do. So it was like, I couldn't really engineer anything. It was very scary, you know? And I just love the serendipity that kept showing up in your life. It's just interesting to me that you have like this really, really like clear love and passion for acting. It's just like, you know, like it's really that, like that's really super clear. But on the other hand, like that's like a theme, but at the same time, like there's just been so much unpredictability in your life. And yeah. I'm just really fascinated by it, by how these things have been working.
Yeah, I wish people would teach parents or you know, even teach kids in school to say, hey, look, you know, you may not know what you would love to do when you grow up. It may not find you until after college, but be open to it, you know?
Yeah.
Because we're constantly growing and we're evolving. We're like, I'm a completely different person than I was 2 years ago, you know, even 6 months ago, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I totally get that. You know, we feel like we kind of observe other people, and then we give power to certain elements, and then we put pressure on ourselves when
if we would
just simplify and have the fearlessness of a child who just wants to play and enjoy. Because I've learned the more that I play and I can just let loose and be a big kid, it's amazing what shows up. And that's because I've let things go. And I'm like, you know what? Right. I don't need this role. I don't need this deal. It's kind of like, you know what? Yeah. I'm just going to enjoy the day and enjoy who I'm with. And you know what? It's like, if we have tomorrow, it's already a win, you know, just really, really simplifying to the basics, like getting up in the morning, looking out the balcony, kissing the sky and saying thank you. And and then whatever comes is going to be a bonus. When you can simplify like that, I feel if that can be taught at a young age, that, hey, just be grateful, you know, work hard, do your best, but also let it go, you know?
Yeah. I hear you. But no, I agree entirely. I think you're right. I think, I'm just like thinking about like, what would that look like? I think when our parents and other adults are, you know, like trying to get us to plan and think about our futures and stuff like that, I think it comes from like a sincere place, you know, like with my parents, I think like they genuinely wanted me to be able to like make a living, for example, like they were really concerned about that. And I appreciate where that came from, but it was also fear-based, you know, like, I think they were afraid that I would like come home from college and live in the basement, you know, for like the next 10 years or something like that. And, you know, so some of it is like parental, like the, you know, your parents' stuff and cultural stuff. So I'm just like kind of curious, like if you had a child, like, how would you encourage them to continue to like live life in a lighter way?
You know, I would always remind them to you know, listen to their heart and to really pay attention to what excites them, you know.
That's good.
And to always at any cost always think about others and put them first, you know. It's like you need to take care of your well-being at the top of each day, but throughout your day and your weeks and your months and your years, you've got to understand that we're all here together for each other, and you've got to put people first, and you have to have this selflessness and this humility, because then you get perspective and you get the understanding always of like what's really important, you know. And it's not about me or my job or about my promotion or my career or how good I'm going to look. It's about like, why am I here? Like, what are we really here to do? And and I think when you instill that into a child, and that's what I'm going to do, like, you know, I definitely want to have kids one day, and you know, and when I do, I'm going to remind them, like, always listen to what excites you the most.
That's wonderful advice.
Put people in front of you.
Yeah, you know? That's like the most solid advice you can give a kid, is like, never never stop paying attention to what gives you joy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, because we think that, oh, it's because like when you're a little kid, you have this, it's this purity, you know, it's like, it just kind of like, you just want to wander and explore.
Yes.
You just want to go. And even if you run into a wall, you're going to fall down with a smile still on your face.
Yeah, no, you're right. You know? Like I was thinking about like my own childhood because I was a very artsy, creative kid, you know, and I actually, when I was in fifth grade, I wrote and produced a play that they actually put. Yeah, I know. I was a big fan of Scooby-Doo. Remember? Remember Scooby-Doo? I was like I really love all the you know, kind of horror and comedy and stuff. So I wrote a script, which was like, you know, totally unoriginal, but it didn't matter. And lucky me to have gone to an elementary school where, like, they let me do it, you know, like they weren't like, no, you know, kids don't do that. They were just like, sure, you know, well, they, all the little kids came to watch and they videotaped it. And, you know, so I mean, I'm just giving you an example of something that when I was like, 9 or 10 years old, I just did it. You know, I just did it. It never occurred to me that I couldn't. And I think when we become teenagers, maybe, and we start like our tribal sort of acceptance, you know, like little observer starts to really kick in, like, you know, gotta fit in, gotta be appreciated by the tribe, all that kind of stuff. And we lose that spontaneity and that fearlessness.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. We're constantly being told as we're growing up, this is right, this is wrong. And it jades us. You know, it takes away from our real core, you know?
Right. Which is why, actually, I think creative, like community among creative people is so incredibly important.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's so important for us to be to surround ourselves with people who are, you know, like in your, you know, like your acting courses and things where you have people who, like, they create like a safe playground, you know, like, like you can't fall on the concrete or anything and hurt yourself, where you can just play and be fearless and know that, you know, people have your back.
Yes. Oh yeah, absolutely. Community is everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I share that attitude very much myself. I was curious when I saw your website, you have your acting experience on that. But I know also you work with Sabrina Picario, and I'm really curious, like, how do you and Sabrina work together?
So just a few months ago, we launched our first company, which is, you know, Touch of Life Productions. Mm-hmm. So we met a few years ago through one of my best friends, Gil Bronco. And you know, we knew of each other, and we got together, we hung out. And and then I learned years later that her mom told her, like, she was a part of like ancient Chinese traditional medicine and and the sciences as well. And and then she actually has a very, very similar path in that she came from a completely different world, and, you know, she was trying to improve her skills in speech. So she took an acting class, and things went really well, and she got a scholarship to NYFA, and she never looked back. But like her mom told her, she was like, honey, I've seen it, you're gonna make it. And she shortly passed after that. And so we both have a parent who told us, who gave us their ultimate blessing for us to go after the dream they knew was gonna happen. And right after that, they suddenly passed.
Wow.
And it happened in a different time, a different part of the world. And I learned this years after meeting Sabrina. And I said, oh my God, like, we have the same long-term vision where we want to create a production company with stories, you know, some are based on truth, some are fiction, some are a mix, but these are all going to gear towards messages that are going to change people's worlds. Mm-hmm. And it's going to empower them and remind them of their value so that they can go and they can share it.
Wow.
And we also, like, we're structuring it so that, you know, once we get the first couple films and series off the ground, the majority of the profits that are supposed to come in are going to be going towards an affiliate that builds facilities and free clinics for the ones in most need.
Yeah.
Providing clothing, shelter, and healthcare. So when we are going to be approaching our own sets and whatnot, we're going to be able to know inside our hearts that, hey, this film set that we're about to work on is already funding this, and this free clinic in this part of the world.
Yeah. Wow.
So, and we both have that same long-term vision where we know how essential it is to plant seeds for humanity for after our time, you know?
Yeah.
So we decided to launch it together and be partners, you know, and she's just an angel and just very, very lucky to have crossed paths with her, you know?
So do you do you yourself do like nitty gritty production work? Because I know like she told me about her spreadsheets and everything. And so I was just kind of curious how the two of you work together.
Oh God, no. I don't do any of that. Since I was a kid, I've been a master at bringing some of the best people together. And so I'm able to use that now, but I love sitting in on meetings and talking about certain specifics and whatnot and working as a team. But when it comes to like the nitty gritty of like production work, you know, even specifics of say directing or post-production, whatever it might be. I mean, that's a very specific gifted skill set to have.
I totally agree. I think it's like being an Uber project manager, like, you know, like being able to like juggle zillions of moving pieces simultaneously.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think that would like blow most people's minds actually.
Oh my God. If I was thrown into the fire like that, into the wild, and all these things coming at me, I would do my best for a moment and then I'd probably start screaming.
Yeah. Sabrina seems to like really like kind of thrive on it. Like she really seems to, like she really loves the challenge. And the other thing I always notice about her is she's like so chill. She is like always super gracious. And like, you know, I would be like, you know, I'd have like a super short temper and be like, you know, I can't talk right now. And, you know, like I've got all this stuff I got to do. And she's just, you know, just like, you know, like always responds to my emails and stuff. Just the absolute portrait of graciousness.
No, she's
amazing. I love
she's
people who are like that. I know. I think it's such a cool blend of personal traits.
Oh yeah, it is. And I think like our life prepares us and molds us to, you know, like for like Sabrina, I mean, I know of sets where she's had one specific job and then just by nature, she'll end up wearing 12 hats and performing at a very level on each of them.
I can see that.
And it's just, it's a real, real gift. And you know, directors, you know, certain producers also have that where they're juggling so many things, but they know exactly where they are in each one.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? No, it's really cool. It's amazing. But I also wanted to remark on your comment about how much you love bringing people together because I you know, like every once in a while I'll read the story of how a particular film was made or not made, you know, kind of got stuck in development hell or whatever. And it does seem like there's like a bit of magic or maybe more than a bit in not just film, but I think film is particularly so because you have to bring together such a large group of people with varied talents. And then, you know, everybody has to be able to work together to make it happen. And so often it really does come down to the right people with, you know, the right talents were available in that particular piece of time. So I have great admiration for people who, you know, can get on the phones and chat with people and, you know, get people together for, you know, like for creative work.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, absolutely. You know, I grew up watching my mom who's a realtor and my dad who's an engineer and they entertained. I mean, whether you were a stranger on the street or whether you were a loved one, you're going to have a plate to eat and, you know, we're going to hang out, you know?
That's really cool.
Just really open and accepting. And like, I'll give a really good example. When I was working out of DC for my last job, I went to a networking event in the Washington DC area. And there were hundreds of actors in this building, and they wanted to meet three of the biggest agents in that part of the country. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to go meet Sylvia Hudson because I heard so much about her. So there's swarming, you know, actors in that building. So sure. I should go down for 10 seconds. Hey, how are you doing? And I'm like, I can't sit down right here with her and have coffee, you know?
Right.
So I said, you know what, shake her hand, say hello. And then I left the building and I thought, you know what, it's okay. Like I did, I at least I got to meet her, and, you know, maybe I'll follow up and she met her.
Yeah.
And there's a guy sitting outside and I'm like, hey man, what's going on? How are you doing? And then we just started talking.
Uh-huh.
And we just started laughing for no reason for like 2 hours and just having the best time. And I'm like, hey, man, I got your info. Let's hang out. He's like, dude, for sure.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, you know who I am, right? I was like, no. He goes, I'm Sylvia's husband.
And
I was like, who? And he was like, Sylvia Hudson. I'm like, get the hell out of here. Really?
Wow.
And he was like, dude, you had no idea. And I feel like that's when like God and the universe are just laughing at you, like, ha ha ha, you know?
Yeah, but that's like beautiful. That's a beautiful story. I love stories like that. Yeah.
And you know, and like a week later, she's submitting me for jobs like I'm her own son, you know?
Oh, wow.
And so it's
that's
one of those
so
things,
sweet.
Where, you know, it's so, yeah. And you know, it's just so easy. It's like, you know, it's like, be nice, you know, like
people, I get it.
Everyone's going through something. Just say hello. Hey, how are you doing? And like be genuinely interested, you know?
Yes.
It'll mean the world to them, you know?
Yeah. I think you and I are different people. You seem like someone who's very extroverted and very energized by being with people. And I myself am more of an introvert. So I am, you know, not like, actually I'm more jazzed when I have some time alone. Mm-hmm. I do find for myself, at least I have to kind of like take care of my inner landscape, if you will. So, you know, kind of like make sure like I'm, you know, meditating and, you know, like I'm taking care of the stuff in me, because if I am super stressed out and not addressing kind of like being stressed out or that type of thing, I don't really have as much to give other people. Does that make sense? I don't know if that's true for you or not. I'm curious.
You know what? It's interesting. Like for me, because I also, I think elements of both where like, okay. There are moments where, like I love being around people and whatnot, but then when I have my alone time, I also feel like, you know, it gives me perspective. I also appreciate that, but then I also think about those dynamics of certain relationships, you know? I don't know. It's interesting.
That's okay. I'm asking out of curiosity, just because, like I hear what you're saying, and at the same time, like what it makes me think about is how I take joy like you do. Like I really mm-hmm. like having, talking with people, and I love making someone laugh, you know, just mm-hmm. whatever, just like bringing a little bit of happiness into their day. And at the mm-hmm. same time, I also know like when I'm in a bad mood, I just can't go there because I'm just like really caught up in my own stuff.
Oh, no. Oh, 100%. And, you know, I think it's important that we acknowledge how we're feeling at any given point, you know, because, you know, we're all going through a roller coaster of whatever emotions. And, you know, like there are times where I'm kind of like, hey, I need to be alone. And if I need it, I'm going to take it. And if I need to talk to someone, I'm also going to go see someone. I'm going to call someone, because mm-hmm. I also see how important it is for us to also release whatever's going on inside, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we do that enough. We're,
I agree.
Like, you know, mm-hmm. I think so many of us are like, you know what, I'm an adult, I can handle it myself. I'll brush it to the side, you know, like it's going to be fine over time. It'll be good. And then actually like, it's better to call somebody, go see someone saying, hey, I had this on my mind. I'm not completely comfortable sharing it, but I know it'll be healthier for me to get it out of my system. Mm-hmm. And then after I do that, no matter what the subject's about, it's amazing how I feel afterwards. Just that I've put it out there, and it's, you know, cause I have family who, you know, they've learned that, hey, you got to bottle stuff up. And, you know, I'm the one who's here to be strong for everyone, to take care of everyone. It's like, no, you're a human. You know?
Yeah, we can get kind of caught up in our roles. I'm curious, how has COVID affected your work this year? Has it hurt it or not hurt it? Like, what are you noticing?
You know what? There's been obviously a huge shutdown for production. You know, now it's slowly picking up. But I think it's been tremendous for us because, like in February and March, I got pinned for two shows. Pinned means you're casting's number one choice for a show. In February, I was in Texas for three reunions, one of my friend's weddings and two other reunions. And in the middle of it, I had to do a last minute Disney guest star audition. I got pinned for it. And then and then later on, there was a show called The Young Rock about Dwayne Johnson's childhood. I got pinned for that. And then the pandemic happened. And so all of a sudden, I had this momentum for my agent and manager, like, wow, this guy was in the middle of three reunions in Texas, and he did this at a very high level. I'm going into the pandemic with this momentum where I'm like, you know what, that feels pretty good, where like I'd be working on set, you know, if this pandemic wasn't there. And then me and Sabrina made use of our time. We're like, you know what, let's launch our company, let's make it official. And so in the pandemic, like, we have writers in Portugal and India for different projects. And two of our movies are getting tremendous leaps and bounds. Like, there's a movie based on my life events called Happy. Is getting amazing, like angels and forces coming onto the team. Same thing with another movie based on Sabrina and other life events called Living the Dream. So these two are in a great, great place where we actually might be in a position next year to jump into pre-production. And then we have two TV series that's coming along really, really well as well. In addition to a third feature film, and we have a writer who's about to start that in India. That's also based on true events. But these five projects have been getting a lot of momentum and some real key players in these last few months.
Why do you think that is?
You know what? I think it's because we're simplifying because of the pandemic, and we're paying more attention to what's important. When this happened, I thought to myself, I'm like, you know what? Like, I had a vehicle I was leasing, and my lease ended in May, and I didn't have a vehicle for a couple months. And I'm like, this is amazing. And I never ever would have thought that simplifying a small part of my life actually opened up so many other areas, you know? And, you know, just kind of like, you know, I have a good friend in Washington State, who got diagnosed with a cancer. He passed away. I went up there for the services. And I realized through my travels, I'm like, because of this pandemic, I can be living somewhere in the midst of Mother Nature in the mountains. Whenever I need to, I don't have to be in LA anymore.
That's pretty sweet, isn't it? I really like that.
It's amazing. And you know what? Yeah. We're not only forced to simplify our lives, but now we can live anywhere we want to, and we can live more fully now with loved ones, with Mother Nature.
Yeah.
And we can even be healthier. So I don't know. I think there's so many positives that come out of it. And you know what? We've chosen to embrace it. And I also don't watch the news. I'm barely on social media. Like, I haven't watched the news in maybe 3 years. And
that's probably why you're happy.
Seriously. No, there's, you know, if there's anything that's important, I'm going to get the news from my family or from my friends. I'm going to hear about it. But, you know, I don't have to tune into it several hours out of the day. My energy, and it's going to take away from me enjoying my day, you know, because the more you enjoy your day, the more you can give, you know, you can give back.
So tell me, we're just about out of time, and tell me, I want to hear, what are a few things in your day that like really give you lots of joy?
In my day? You know what? Seeing, you know, like maybe getting some work done and then just going hanging out with a buddy down the street. You know? Yeah, just having a catch up, even though I might have just seen my buddy yesterday. Just spending time with a loved one is a big joy. Sitting in my balcony and just really looking miles into the mountains, embracing the palm trees. Just being like, wow, we get to live here, you know? You know, just really, you know, day to day, I love to do an occasional hike or yoga or something that will get my blood flowing. And then I can just sit still with a loved one or with Mother Nature and just be. And it's not even to meditate. It's just to it's just to relax and to mm-hmm. keep the waters calm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think really finding a place in my day where I'm genuinely relaxing, you know. I don't know if that even answered your question.
It's a great answer. That's a perfect answer. You know, like you told me what gives you joy, and you told me, and yeah, you know, like we don't really, I have more and more, I think because of climate change, become so much more aware of how planet Earth, man, it is a paradise. I live in Denver, Colorado, and
beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It is, you know, like I look at some days, like the blue sky and the clouds and, you know, the leaves on the tree and stuff. And I just think like, man, this is like such a great place for us humans to be. And, you know, we have to take care of this paradise place. Cause yeah, I mean, that's just what comes up for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. We have to, I think as we're simplifying our day-to-day, spending more time with loved ones and removing things that really didn't serve any of us. I think, yeah, like paying more attention to how we're treating each other. And of course, our universe, our planet, you know, no question about it.
Yeah. Amen to that. So Raj, I just want to thank you for, you know, spending time with me today. I really enjoyed talking to you, and I love your attitude and, you know, kind of the come from that you have. It's delightful.
Oh, thank you, Judy. I really appreciate it. It was also so nice to you know, meet you, you know, through this, and hopefully one day we can get, you know, Sabrina and maybe a small group and get together and just toast to life. It would be so nice.
I would love that. That would be a ball.